Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Do We Know Them, episode 261. Did you miss us? It's been forever.
We're back.
We're back. I was scared I wouldn't know how to do things anymore. Like, do I know how to set up? Do I know how to turn on my lights, the camera? It's been so long.
I mean, I kind of feel like I just forgot how to talk. But do you look tan?
Oh, that's
right. I can't really see.
I do feel not so tan. There is a bit of a tan line here, but I think it's still a little burnt. Guys, I got burnt as fuck. I had to buy a rash guard. Okay, it was a hot mess. The sun was hot in Marco Island.
I feel like that is something I forget about, that it's stronger some places than it is others.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'll be like, and oh my God, like, I don't get that sunburn. And then all of a sudden it's like you want to die.
Yeah, no, everybody got burnt. The kids actually were pretty much the only ones that didn't get burnt. My husband got sun poisoning. He's got blisters and shit. It's bad. Okay, It's bad over here. We're struggling. I do want to say a quick shout out because our episode went live very close to like when I was already leaving Marco Island, and a girlie came up to me in the airport and she's like, I just saw the episode this morning. And I asked my family, like, are we by Marco Island? And they're like, yeah, we're pretty close. She was just like, so then now I saw you, so hello.
How
old
was she?
Hi. She was like our age.
Oh my God, I love
that.
I think
a lot of girlies are our age.
I know,
you know, just the 30s.
I love that.
30, 40, thriving.
I used to feel so awkward when like children would come up to me when I worked at
Clubber. No girl, I don't think we got any kids watching. But also she was so cool, and like she was just like really chill, you know, like some people look nervous. She wasn't nervous at all. She was just like so chill.
I was like, oh my God, hi.
Yeah, I literally told her, I'm like, how'd you recognize me? I look like a goblin. And she didn't answer. I was like, oh, thought it was being funny, but I think I, you know, ruined it.
That's fun.
But anyway, I had a great time. I was in the pool. Alex was calling me a water rat because I literally was in the pool like constantly. I would just get out, pee, get out, go eat something, like a bite of a sandwich, get back in the pool. The beach, not so much. Don't like sand on my toes.
I was thinking, are water rats real things?
You know, I don't know. I think he made it up. But it did suit me, and my hair was really ratty. So like it did make
Looks
sense.
Like a little
I did braid my extensions, but still they were really tangly. Anyway, none of that's important. I had a great vacation. Thank you guys for giving us the weekend. I mean, you didn't have a choice. We didn't upload. But, you know, you were very graceful in giving us, you know, the space. And I mean, it was our 3-year anniversary. And like, I enjoyed my weekend off. I'll say that. Like, I had a great old time.
Ironically, I didn't sleep really last night, but that's probably...
Yeah, what the fuck?
But that's probably because I slept like all weekend for once. It was like catching up
weeks. I love that.
Yeah, it was nice.
Well, we're back, guys. And we're back to our regularly scheduled schedule, which is Mondays and Fridays, aka Tuesdays and Saturdays. How are you guys doing?
Depends on the time it is. Yep. And whatever. It usually goes up on Monday and Friday for me.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. It's usually like midnight or 1 a.m. for me, which is 10 p.m. for you. Yeah. We're working with a lot of different time zones.
It's the footage just takes a lot of time to export. So even if it's done
true
on time, it's just me like sitting at my computer waiting. And then YouTube... Oh my God, we got fucking copyrighted.
For what?
The Margot song.
No, we did not.
Mm-hmm. I told you, it's Tiago? A real song. Yeah.
Wait, so then what do we do?
I cut a little bit off and then I like muted a couple little sections. So I like tricked it.
Oh, nice work. Nice work.
Hopefully
it wasn't
too disruptive.
Get a freaking life.
It was like Epic Records or something.
Oh. So
yeah, it was like legit. Thing. Yeah.
It was so
quick.
But
that's why it was especially late, because then I had to re-export, which takes a while because it's like an hour and a half long. And then I had to re-upload it, which takes a while because my internet sucks. And then I had to wait for YouTube to process it for like fucking 40 minutes, because of course, whenever you need it to go fast, that's when it doesn't. That's
love
why it was
for
late.
Us. But or for you, because I was likely drunk and asleep. So thank you, Queen, for getting that done. Appreciate you. Well, anyway,
what do we
have a show.
Oh,
you want to do it?
Yeah. Interesting topics today.
Yeah.
It's weird when there's one that kind of like comes out of left field, but like I actually know what's going on.
Yeah. I've known of this guy. I've seen him. I used to see his videos when he did his previous content. Then he disappeared. Didn't hear from him pretty much ever again. And then now he's back? Question mark. And it's just, he never left.
Yeah. I was going to say he didn't really disappear. Maybe he just stopped coming on your
from my
page.
For you page.
But we're talking about Hub's Life. If you don't know him by name, I feel like you probably would recognize the content. It's the guy that would just film his 9-to-5. And shall we just play a example?
Sure. It says on screen, day in the life of a guy with a 9-to-5. And you would think that that's not something that most people would think to film. You know what I mean?
No, well, like it's
a lot of people.
Quite monotonous. And he also filmed it every day. But it wasn't like there was some variations of like what he did. Even like when I worked at Clever, technically it was a 9-to-5. But like things were obviously exciting. his 9-to-5, he didn't really show what his work was. So it was just like...
But it was like giving very...
I found out later. Apparently it's like an air conditioning company. But it's something very like office space coded, where it's just like the same thing. He like goes, he does his job, and he leaves. And that's how his content was. And it was like the exact same thing every day. And this is what it was. That was the part that always annoyed the fuck out of me.
Wait, what the fuck was that breathing thing?
Oh, it was like something with his teeth.
Why is he huffing and puffing? Teeth whitening? Why would you huff it?
I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know what the huffing is for, but I feel like that's what the...
Maybe he has asthma. My bad. Hold on. Actually, but let's not diagnose him. We don't know.
I never really had a problem with his content, except it just irked me because of the way he puts his fucking laptop in his bag.
Like it's a newborn child.
Oh my God. Like more delicate than a newborn child. He does it so slow and just with his like fingertips.
Is that clip in slow motion? It's
no,
not.
I like, promise you it's so not. Weird to me. I'm like, I mean, given I'm like really just not delicate with my electronics.
You're an Aries, honey. You're like a little bull going around.
Yeah, I'll just like throw things in. Yeah. I'm like those people that you see like videos that people freak out where it's like they're holding a laptop with like two fingers and like.
That's me.
But he is, I'm like, oh my God, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, put it in.
Put it in the bag.
I'm a senior analyst for a Fortune 500. We are in the office 4 days a week. That's what it says on screen. I genuinely enjoy what I do.
He says while he looks absolutely miserable.
But I feel like if you look at me or you while we're editing, we probably look miserable, right?
I let out like some giggles and stuff. But like,
oh yeah,
he just like throughout the day, like he looks dead behind the eyes.
Yeah, a little bit. Which I mean, fair. 9-to-5s, they do be doing that to you sometimes.
Totally.
You know what I mean? It says I get a 1 hour lunch break, which is nice.
The whole thing is just an interesting, like the fact that he did start filming it and then it got so popular.
A researcher said that she thought she was going crazy because he, spoiler alert, I mean, not a spoiler alert at all, but he filmed like for 700 plus days straight and it all looked like this. So she literally was like, I think I'm going crazy, and I had to double check a million times to make sure I wasn't putting the same video because I thought it was all the same
it
one.
It really took off and like he had over a million followers. But like, I don't know, it's kind of like satisfying, I think, to watch.
Okay, yeah. No, I do know what people probably saw in it. It was just like watching someone else live their daily job life, but in a super concise way. Like you're not actually seeing the nitty gritty that gets really boring and like vlogs and stuff.
Exactly. And also that apparently his comment sections have always been very split, and it's either people being like, oh my God, this is so sad. Like,
oh my God,
like he looks miserable. Like he looks like he hates his existence. But then other people liked it because it was like normalizing the 9-to-5. And it was like, okay, now I don't feel so bad about my own life.
Oh, period. Okay. I like that one.
And he always just has this like microwavable lunch.
Okay, it may be like a factor because I do be eating factor pretty much every day. And it's like, I know it looks a little sad.
No, I had it for lunch today.
Yeah, no, but I do put it on a plate, you know?
Oh, I don't. I definitely eat it out of the
Okay, so let's not assume he's eating kids cuisine or whatever it's called.
I used to love kids cuisine.
Me too.
No, I'm not even shitting on him for the microwavable food, but that is just like a staple.
It does look sad. Of course it looks sad. Yeah.
And also like a key factor, which I didn't realize until I'd seen him like numerous times. He's married and has a kid.
Okay, I was about to say, I'm pretty sure he has a child because he does show that in some of his
but
content.
For like the majority of his content, or at least for like I think the beginning when he first got his followers, he portrays it as if he's just like single, alone, and like in this really nice house. He has a dog, but it's like he just no social interaction and just like a very sad.
It looks extra sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then come to find, he actually has like this gorgeous wife and a new baby and like a bunch of friends. And it's like, oh no, he's just like, this is what he's showing you.
Yeah. Back to the office, it says, because he went home for lunch, work until about 4:20.
Fucking
I'm
laptop.
So dead.
I hate it.
Not the laptop again. The music doesn't help.
Yeah. Well, that's in like the whole thing. It was like his goal was to make it kind of just this like.
He was feeding into that.
Yeah.
Just like, here's my, and I mean, titling it, here's my 9-to-5. People have this conception. Is that conception?
Mm-hmm.
Conception.
Misconception?
Yeah. No, just the conception, not the miss. Just like the idea. They have the idea of a 9-to-5, and mundane is usually associated with that because it's repetitive. It's the same thing. A lot of people look at it as like reliable, which totally makes sense to me. And it's like, you know what to expect. But a lot of people look at it as like, oh, the old grind, like the 9-to-5. alive. So he was feeding into that, I feel.
Yeah. And I think there's definitely like pros and cons with something like that.
Oh,
like,
for sure. Health insurance. That's great. I work out 4 to 5 days a week. What was that for?
Just three sit-ups.
Fellow tall boy. He's just so tall. Oh. Everything that tall people do just looks silly, myself included. Take Benny for a mile walk daily. Okay, so I feel like a big part of what he was doing was also like jamming an insane amount of shit into one day. You know what I mean? Because I feel like most people, you're going to a 9 to 5, you're coming home for lunch, then you're doing a mile walk and working out 4 to 5 days a week, and you have a child. Like, I feel like he was like, I'm amazing. Like, I could do anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely go on at least a mile walk a day. I don't work out on top of that.
I feel like a lot of people in the comments back in the day when he was still doing this type of content were saying things like, way to go, brother, type of thing. You know what I mean?
Like, it's like,
you're doing amazing.
You're really productive.
Yeah, which like, period.
Yeah, trying to be encouraging because it does seem kind of just like monotonous and a little sad.
Sure. Breaking down boxes. Get an electric box cutter, my man. Hydrate 1 gallon a day.
He seems like he's just like really good at adulting.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I feel like this is what we're kind of sold that we should be doing.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't find happiness in this because on a human level, I mean, the mile a walk a day, you know, all that stuff, great. But like in general, like there's not a whole lot of like humaning that day. You know what I mean?
Well, and I think maybe,
which is unfortunate,
the reason why some people liked it was because it's kind of like encouraging because it's like everything's so like clean and he feels like so like put together and like he's just like doing things even though you might not want to.
Do you feel like he was trying to make it seem like he didn't have a kid and wife in the beginning?
For sure.
That's weird.
I agree.
I would be offended.
It is a little weird. This is like early on, like one of his first videos, I assume.
Yeah. Like this house doesn't look like a child lives in it.
Well, and also he like comes back and like eats by himself for dinner.
Yeah.
And then like watch TV for like the end of the night and then he goes to bed.
Yeah. No, this day looks like a single bachelor man who's working a 9 to 5, mm-hmm. which is just an interesting, I mean, if you don't want to show your kid, that's one thing. But if you have a family, it's kind of impossible to show that you don't have a family. Like my entire existence is my family. You know what I mean? Like you would know.
Well, and like, it's so clean and organized and like, where are they?
Yeah. Does anybody else live there? I wonder if he like hid toys and shit so that it wouldn't be seen. Like,
I mean, I guess you could technically just like shove everything like to the side. Maybe it's not like everything is clean and he's just showing angles where he's like cleared them. I don't know.
Yeah.
I remember when I found out that he had a wife and kid, I was like, whoa, what?
Yeah, no, for sure. It says here he never talks. Mm-hmm. So this is a rare vlog that he starts off talking because that was also a big part of his content. He just basically wouldn't say anything and he would do what we just watched, which is very performatively show his day because
going through the
motions. Always have to think of like the content creator brain, the setting up of the tripod. I'm like,
I could never.
You had the most insane day. Like he was like 50,000 angles that he's on a walk
with
his dog.
He really does it that much, but I guess the walking the dog would be really tedious. But like when people
to go
show
back.
Them like when they're driving away and stuff, I'm like, oh my god, but then you have to like drive back and go get
you
the
turn
camera.
Go get it. Anyway, let's hear his voice. I mean, we'll hear plenty of it in a minute, but we'll just hear his voice back in the day.
What's up everybody? The wife is still at work, the baby's down for a nap, so I'm gonna clean the kitchen so my wife can come home to a clean house. As they say, clean house, happy spouse.
Oh, I don't like it. I don't like him talking.
He just seems like very like low energy, yet very productive at the same time.
Yeah, some people are just like that. Some people are a little bit more mellow. I'm not used to it. I feel like everyone in my life is like super high energy. And like anytime you're in a room with any of us, we're just like screaming.
I feel like
that could be a lot.
I just get yelled at for like my mom anytime I'm having a conversation with. She's like, you don't have to yell.
And you're like, I'm just talking.
I'm sorry.
No, we all yell. But also in general, personal pet peeve online, I hate when men or women do nice things for their spouse but they just film it and I'm like, okay, Matt and Abby, when Matt was like, I'm gonna take care of the kid and clean the kitchen for her, and I'm like, so just doing life with your partner, you don't have to film that.
I feel like this is a little less contrived than,
no, for sure,
yeah, but at least he's doing it.
At least he's doing it. I agree. There are other content creators that I think I relate to more, like there's a guy named Joey Fu on TikTok and he cleans for his wife, but it just I guess it's a personality thing. Like if I could vibe with them and I'm like, okay, I feel like they're actually doing it because they enjoy doing it. I mean, either way, you're doing it, so great. But I'm just saying, like a personal pet peeve, that's not really a bad thing. But like, I'm just like, oh, not you filming the nice thing you're doing for your wife.
He also does, though, give off like really like neat freak vibes.
Oh, no, no, for sure. Did you see that like monogrammed blanket in the back and it was like perfectly laid on the couldn't be me.
He might just like blankets. Enjoy cleaning.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Couldn't be me.
So as always, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Oh. I don't like it. Oh. You better get a king. Anyway, he cleans.
Yeah.
Great job, king. Mm-hmm. You know? In 2024, he proudly said that he didn't want to quit his 9-to-5 job because he started gaining popularity on the internet and people were like, you know, like you could technically leave that job. And he said this in his caption to one of his blogs. It says, in quotes, would you quit your job to do social media full time? End quote. And he says, I get this question all the time. The answer, no, I wouldn't quit my job to do this full time. I love my 9-to-5 as it provides health insurance, steady income, 401k, structure, career growth opportunities, etc. I enjoy the people I work with and genuinely like the work that I do. I have been making videos for a long time a hobby and passion of mine. I left the 9-to-5 years ago to pursue videography and social media full-time for a startup company. I travel 2 to 3 weekends a month filming shows and content nonstop, while also filming and editing content throughout the week.
Was making less money than I ever had and was something about like a hobby becoming a job. And then he says, I ended up going back to corporate America and have never looked back. Taking the risk opened up my eyes to the beauty of having a good stable job. There's something to be said for stability and routine. I started documenting my normal everyday life through this account to serve as my creative outlet to my quote-unquote mundane office job. And now here we are. Moral of the story, you don't have to quit your job to pursue other passions. A 9-to-5 job is just a chapter in your story, not the entire book. Use your 9-to-5 to finance the life you truly want to live. That's interesting because I know he also did an interview for like some big outlet. I want to say it was like the Hollywood Reporter or something. And he said the same thing, that he would never quit his job. And it was like the end of last year.
Which I just want to say right now, people are allowed to change their mind, obviously.
Totally.
Like once you're presented with something, if it makes more sense for you or your family or your life structure, then absolutely you can change that. I'm just more curious because his caption suggests that he did have experience in the social media space and saw how basically how fickle it could be and how demanding in other ways. I think a 9-to-5 is demanding in certain ways and a social media job is demanding in others. It really is that.
With social media, usually it's like it doesn't end when the 9-to-5 is over. Like you don't get to turn your brain off.
Well, no, because it's you on the face of it usually. And that comes with a lot of stress. Just like
for sure.
Other work.
It is interesting though, because I think the time that he was doing it before that he references, he wasn't necessarily the one on camera. He was working for a social media company. So he was probably making content for other people.
Like.
So maybe he said that before he got to a point where he felt like he could sustain, like make a living doing it and him being on camera.
Yeah, that could be it because he was probably making a decent amount of money, but obviously like there is a lot of money to be made on social media. And no matter how oversaturated it becomes, there is enough money in advertising, in things like the creator program with TikTok. Like there's enough money for like everyone to be okay type of thing. So I don't think he knew maybe.
Yeah, well, when he started getting a lot of brand deals. So I wonder if that was maybe that happened after he had said he wasn't going to.
And I mean, you have a child. So going to a 9-to-5 automatically means you're not with your child. And from what I understand, his wife also has a 9-to-5. So that likely means either a family member was taking care of the baby or they had the baby in daycare. And that's like a big thing. Like if you can be at home, that's better.
For sure. And on top of that,
that makes a difference for a lot of people.
If not only you could be at home, but then if he was doing really well and he was getting brand deals and he was making more than he would be at his 9-to-5, then like that feels like a no-brainer. Like why wouldn't you?
Now the 9-to-5 does come again with the health insurance,
stability.
The 401k, stability, routine. All of those things are very difficult. When you have a career in social media, the lack of routine ruins a lot of people's mental health. Like just straight the fuck up. There
Hello.
You see a lot
yes.
of
Same.
Creators who are like, I crave having that routine. I think that I personally have found a routine within the lack of routine where I'm just like, okay, you know, I have a set schedule that I do things or times that I cut myself off type of thing so that I can go to bed and live my life. I have my kids. I have to put my kids to sleep. Like you have to kind of find that because it's not there by default.
But also, on the internet. Wouldn't you say that it's been much easier because we have the podcast, because we do have a schedule and we do have to stick to a routine? Yeah, exactly. Because when we were just doing our personal channels, that's why we both got so inconsistent, because like you just get kind of like in your head, and then you like, I wouldn't even say like I wasn't working. It's not like I was just like, I don't want to work today. It was like half of it was like paralyzed being like, I don't know what to do.
Oh, 100%.
But also just like putting a lot of thought into things that then just never came to fruition. This has given us something where it's like, okay, well, we have to film these days, we have to edit these days, and we always like have that schedule we have to keep to. Doing it by yourself and not, I mean, I guess he was uploading daily, so he did have some kind of regularity to his content, but like it's definitely different when you're doing it for yourself and you don't necessarily have that accountability. Like, and we always said it's the dual accountability has really helped us too.
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, I even have friends that struggle with that, because if you don't have to make content, like, yes, you have to make content to make money. But if you have, let's say, enough money to survive that month and you don't have to make another video, a lot of times you won't. But it's not even about that. It's also then about like when you're just by yourself, then you're the focus of your content and that applies a lot more pressure on you. So there was like a million factors that made me feel paralyzed when I was just doing like my own channel and like Vine and stuff.
You've said before that like you used to like coming into Clever to film stuff, even though like we didn't really pay you very much.
Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't get a lot either. Not my decision. And I feel like that was the sentiment from a lot of people that would be in our content, even when they were big creators and they like normally would have like higher day rates. They were like, oh, whatever. It's just fun to like come in and be in an office and like be around
people. Do something.
Exactly. It just like feels like gives you some purpose.
Yeah. So I understand the pros and cons to both. I think that this caption just is interesting to me because it seemed like he had a taste. Obviously, it was working for another company or doing something else for someone else other than himself, but I just feel like he kind of made a bold statement for having some perspective on the matter. And so I think that has a big place in why people got upset with him. Like, I feel like it had a lot to do with it when he did quit his 9-to-5.
If everyone watching is like, why are we talking about him?
I know. Yeah, yeah. He did quit his 9-to-5, queen.
He did. And so that is why some people, there's a few layers to this that we'll get to. But so the big step next is that he did announce kind of out of nowhere, too, that he was going to be quitting his job after 700 days of doing the exact same thing every day.
It says, stop scrolling. You won't want to skip this one with like sad music in the background.
Always.
And he's writing. Chapter one. The last 2 years have been amazing, but also a lot. I've been doing a 9-to-5 and 5-to-9 every single day. Work 9-to-5.
Oh my God, the wiping off the laptop.
Dad 5-to-9. Content creator 24/7. I've filmed, edited, and posted a video every day for the last 700 plus days. So I've made a decision to leave my 9-to-5 for a new kind of 9-to-5. Welcome to chapter two. Okay, so he's in one of those workspace areas. They have one in downtown, like near the city where I live. And you could basically rent out a workspace and do your own thing. Go to an office, share that office with other people. It's like a little like a co-working tiny space. Room. I do find it interesting
that he did that.
And by interesting, I mean kind of stupid. That he did that right away.
I agree, because I remember seeing this in real time, because I literally watching and I was like, why are you going into an office? I don't understand.
Well, but like at minimum, those places are $300 to $400 a month for a cubicle.
Exactly. Minimum. I'm like, I don't know where one, he lives, why would you pay for it? And two, especially if you're like, I know in LA, especially, there's a lot of co-working spaces. They have like bars or like hangout areas and people go because it's like fun to like be around people. And just it's be with like other people. A lot of like freelancers or people that work for themselves. And it gives them like time to socialize that otherwise wouldn't have, which totally get. But I mean, and he doesn't show everything, I guess. So maybe it did. But it was like, it just seemed like, why would you pay for an office to just like go sit on your computer and not talk to anyone?
Dude, and you have your kid, which I just want to say right now, I understand. Even working from home, believe me.
Getting out of the house.
Taking your kid to daycare. No, having your kid in childcare even though you're home and working, which I do that. So I'm like, I understand needing childcare because you work from home and you cannot work when your child is home because they don't let you work. I get it. Now, I just find it very weird because I have been in this industry for over 10 years. And I have thought about this. I even briefly thought about getting me and my brother like a workspace here so that we can both like try to get out of the house. And, you know, before I had my daughter in daycare, I was like, maybe I'll just get an office and leave my house. But you don't really think that right off the bat. Like, why would you, like, your first thought be like, well, I'm still going to be out of the house. I'm still going to be working a 9-to-5.
I mean, it's so I think
for social media,
everyone's different. And like some people,
true,
maybe they aren't very productive at home. Like I personally feel like I mean, I've never thought that would be a good idea for me because I know that I wouldn't go. But like, some people might think like, oh, if I'm like still going and like leaving the house, it gives them more motivation to work because it's like that's their workspace and not like they don't cross over and have it into their, like they maybe aren't as productive at home or they just like want to get out of the house or for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's like crazy. And I guess if he had been making like double income for quite a while, then he probably wasn't like financially strapped. It wasn't like it was a huge expense to do it. But I did just think it was weird because I'm like, being a content creator, like you're working a lot. And like, yeah, there's definitely days where I'm like editing for like hours on end.
But then you get maybe a day off or...
Or like there's other like little things that you have to do. And it's not all just like sitting in a computer that...
Right.
It just feels weird to me to like, how long are you... Like his videos are only like a minute long. So I'm like... What are you doing from 9-to-5? Just like editing all day?
Yeah, answering emails, I would imagine.
I guess. But I like answer emails on my phone. I don't know.
I know.
Again, everyone's different. I do think it's interesting because a lot of people have been voicing in the comments now that he like wasn't honest or like that he like was basically like trying to keep up this charade of doing like office work. And I was like, I don't feel like he lied about that. I thought it was clear that he just like got an office space for him to do content creation. I just thought it was weird.
Wait, what do you mean? People thought that he was using this new cubicle situation to like fake that he was still doing the 9-to-5?
Not the same 9-to-5, but like keep up this kind of like 9-to-5 facade.
Even the content.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be real. As someone who does content for a living, you are very scared to let your niche go. Like, that is a big deal. So I'm sure in quitting, he was like, well, fuck, I need to still be making the 9-to-5 videos. That's just common sense.
Well, and especially when like it wasn't like, oh, sometimes I do this kind of video and sometimes I do that. Like, no, literally all of his videos are just going in and out of the office. So I guess this would maybe make sense to like at least transition.
Why he got that space.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's been like a weird thing that I've seen in the comments where people are just kind of like, some people were mad at him about this. And I'm like,
I didn't
feel like he was like dishonest about what he was doing. It was just like,
I think that, again, had he not made a definitive statement in saying, I'm not going to leave my 9-to-5. I've had a taste of that before. I don't want that. I think that people just like hold people to their word a little bit very strongly, I will say.
Like, not even in the like sense that he quit his job and is being a content creator. But people seem to have thought that him being in this office, like that he was like lying about what he was doing or something.
I saw a lot of people express that they felt like he lied. And I was confused by that at the time. I'm still kind of confused by that. I don't really see this as lying. I do think, however, that people just saw him say, I'm never going to do that. And then saw him do that and said, okay, you fucking hypocrite. Even though 90% of people at the time when I was seeing his real-time content were like, brother, like, let's get your shit up so that you can quit and be home. You know what I mean? Like, people really were supporting him in that moment. But then when he did quit, it kind of flipped. Which
I think is kind of like the epitome of the internet where it's like, everyone wants you to do one thing. And then when you do it, it's like, never mind. Fuck, we don't like you anymore.
Well, you know what I've realized? I do feel like a lot of people like to follow people until. Like, I feel like there's an until underdog for a lot of people.
Yeah.
They want to follow the underdog. They want to support someone that's relatable to them.
Mm-hmm.
And when a lot of creators go full time with content creation, that tends to flip a little bit. And they're like, okay, you're privileged. You just don't understand what we're going through type of thing. Which I think there's validity to that. But I also think that it's just an interesting dynamic.
I think a lot of it comes down to audience. That they're making more money. And that it's like, that's 100%. Why they're not relatable anymore. I understand that some creators could get like very out of touch suddenly when they are.
Yeah, Michaela Nagura, like where it's just like, okay, you're selling out and you're literally lying to us.
Yeah.
But I also think that I understand the perspective too from that side where it's like, if you aren't in this field, to understand how someone could have that much money to create content on the internet is kind of unfathomable. Yeah. So like, I understand both perspectives and I understand why the conflict happens. I just think that it's interesting to witness in a situation like this, because he was so typical 9-to-5 job. Yeah. The thing that people are like, that's what we do. So, you know, we just like go out in the workforce and work every day. And I don't know. And then it just like flipped in one second. They're like, okay, fuck you. You're a content creator. Now. We don't like you.
This aspect of the story, we're going to get to why I have a lot of criticism. Sorry. For him, but I do think that in that sense, like, that it is unfair. I don't know,
he's doing what more than likely 99.9% of people
did you want him to just like, maybe he wasn't miserable and maybe it wasn't a sad existence and that was just how he was he portraying
just looks it. That way, that's just his face.
But genuinely, if you watch someone for 700 days look like they're just like bored out of their mind, have no like excitement about their days,
yeah,
and they have the opportunity to not do that anymore and like focus on just making content, which he said that he's been passionate about for years, it's like, why would you want him to not do that?
Let's give him a shot. You know what I mean? Now, do I think that he ate with his opportunity? No, I don't. But we'll get to that now.
Correct.
Before we continue, we really quickly want to thank our sponsor, Function Health.
We chose Function because it's the only health platform that gives you access to the kind of data that most people never actually get to see. And it gives you the insights that you can actually use to go take action.
Yeah, inside of Function, you can test over 160 biomarkers from heart and hormones to toxins, inflammation, stress. A lot of the things that when you go to a doctor, they're not automatically testing you for. You could even access multi-region MRI and CT scans, which are especially hard to get a lot of times. And it's all tracked in one secure place over time.
Yeah, if you're curious, you should go to the website and check out all of the different biomarkers that they do test for, because it's insane. And it's stuff that I feel like you literally would have to beg your actual doctor to test. And it doesn't take the place of a doctor, but it allows you then to have all of the information to know even what doctor you need to go to instead of just going to a bunch of appointments and finding out nothing.
And if you've ever had a blood test before and seen the results, it could all be very confusing for someone who's not a doctor. So that's why Function is so amazing, because they put it all in layman's terms as well for you to understand and be able to take all of this information and again, take action with it. So it's very user-friendly. And I think that when it comes to your health, that's very important.
So if you want to sign up for Function Health, go to functionhealth.com/DWKT or use the gift code DWKT100. And either way, the first 1,000 people that sign up get $100 off towards their membership.
Again, that's functionhealth.com/DWKT or use the gift code DWKT100 at sign up to be one of the first 1,000 people that get $100 off. And thank you so much to Function Health for sponsoring. Although first we will visit his last day at his 9-to-5, where our researcher says that his last scene of this video is quite ridiculous. It's just like his lonely glance back at his cubicle. I want to see it.
The fucking laptop.
Oh, one last slide.
It's so slow. Well, no, though, because he goes into the other office and needs his laptop.
Says, today marks the end of an era. I've been struggling for a while now. Imagine working a full-time job, filming that full-time job, editing and posting a video of that job every day for 700 plus days, and becoming a new dad on top of that. It starts to wear on you. You start to show up less in all facets of life. You start going through the motions in everything you do. You start forgetting why you started this in the first place. So I've made this decision based on what's best for myself, my family, and you guys.
Okay, that's a little
weird.
Maybe
that didn't hit too hard for people. People were like, bitch, we didn't make this decision with you. And it says, today I will be leaving my 9-to-5.
To pursue a new kind of 9-to-5. Didn't he already say this, most of it?
I want to see the glance. Love that.
And there's a quote, a person often meets his destiny on the road he took to avoid it. Deep.
Okay, period. I don't know.
So I guess this is, he starts his new job, but noticeably doesn't disclose anything about it, is what our researcher put. I just like understood it to be that he was doing content now.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe
I guess now looking back, the new kind of 9-to-5, being vague about it, I could see how people felt. Like he was not being forthcoming
I guess,
about
but
what he was doing.
Play that number 9 and see. It just shows him like going and working on his laptop in the office.
Oh, so this is the new job.
Yeah. And it's not a new job. It's just like making content. He's just scheduling out his day to do it from 9-to-5.
But it says on screen, my first day at my new 9-to-5. Starts the same as every other video, sliding the laptop in, head to the office. New commute is 20 minutes. If you're new here, let me introduce myself. My name is Hub. Is it? No. And I just left my 9-to-5 for a new kind of 9-to-5. We get it. My goal with this page is to remind others that you are not alone. Oh, he does eat Factor. You see? I knew I recognized it. It's okay to work a normal job. It's okay to not be traveling around the world or living on a yacht. It's okay if you haven't figured it all out yet. Because the truth is, most of us haven't figured it out yet either. Take things one day at a time. Appreciate what you have and how far you've come. Okay, buddy. That looked like he was not doing content creation. That looked like,
but it is because he's still filming the same shit. It's just that he's like, instead of working in like finance or whatever he's doing, he's just editing and stuff. He's just not showing you that he's editing.
Yeah, but people who are unfamiliar with like the workspaces and stuff would absolutely see this and think like, oh, he's just at another company.
Yeah, I guess I just like it. Just totally to me was like the new kind of 9-to-5
matters.
I just thought it was weird that he was working in an office. I was like, well, that feels unnecessary.
But then he posts another video that was kind of like a take along with me. It says take a paid 1 hour lunch break with me, and then on screen it says self-employed. So this is when people found out, oh wait a second, you're working for yourself, so you're not going to an office, but it says take a paid 1 hour.
Yeah, I was like, that I feel like we don't have paid lunches.
We don't really have lunches
or vacations or anything.
But I guess this was his first like coming out as self-employed.
And technically, I guess he's filming it, so maybe you could consider
he's working, I guess. Yeah, and it says his new job even lets him travel. So he was showing himself traveling for the new job. Says, travel with me for my new 9-to-5. So he was going along with the new 9-to-5, then saying he was self-employed.
I think he was doing that, though, more so that he was scheduling it out to be a 9-to-5, because then he has to, like, go home and be a dad and stuff.
Okay.
I don't know. For me, I just, like, never thought it was, like, like, I just understood that that was what he was
doing.
You didn't
see it as deceptive.
Yeah.
You just saw, like, oh, he's a content creator now.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people didn't get it, maybe because they are not content creators, obviously. So they're looking at this. He's going to an office. He's traveling. They don't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
And plus his caption previously saying he would never quit to do social media.
Yeah, just, I guess like, I probably like didn't see storm. That part.
Oh my God. Like, we don't need to see you board the plane. So this is just a travel vlog.
But so that's all of his content. Super monotonous. But yeah, even our researcher seems to say that he rented out an office space to like appear like he has a normal job. And I'm like, I just like didn't interpret it like that.
Yeah.
He does later say like, day in the life of a content creator, or like day in the life trying to earn $1,000 a day as a content creator. And he doesn't just make content for himself. It was like he also films like real estate videos.
But that's a completely different job. Then you're a videographer.
Exactly. But so then he would have to edit those and stuff too. So it would be like he'd go work in the office, like be on his computer doing whatever.
$1,000 a day.
And then he'd make like $300 doing the real estate video, and he'd show himself like going to a house to like go film it. And it would be like showing how much he makes on all the platforms. And then also he'd like deduct like what he paid for lunch and stuff. So then at the end of the day, it would be like, I made $800 today or something.
This is, I guess, when he finally reveals that he's a content creator. He comes out. I just made a connection that makes me feel really stupid because I saw the bouncer in the background. And usually that's between like, it's for your first like year of life when they're like, you know, 5 months old or something, you put them in that bouncer. He definitely did not have a kid when he started. Like,
yeah,
he probably just had his
wife.
That's
why he said that he like became a new dad in the
last
year.
Was a new dad.
Yeah, but he had been doing content for 2 years.
Yeah, because we were saying like, it doesn't look like a kid lives here, but a kid did not live there.
Yeah, but even up until like the end, I feel like you didn't.
So he pushed, yeah, maybe. But also newborns don't have toys around. So it's like, you know.
Like he did introduce that he had a wife and kid at a certain point. I don't know when it was, but I just remember when he did, I was very surprised.
Yeah. That could have been a factor, though, for there not being toys around. I don't think there was a child at that time.
Yeah.
Just wanted to clarify. But anyway, this is him coming out as a content creator, allegedly. But all I see is him sliding the laptop in. So I'm I'm unsure what this is. It says day in the life of a normal influencer.
What is a normal
so
influencer?
So then that's a big difference from how he had been leading the other videos. Day in the life
I feel like it wasn't like a surprise. Like, I feel like he had.
I don't know. I'm a little surprised.
We're also skipping around videos and not watching all like every single one.
I know. But I feel like if you followed him to the beginning, you were like, okay, you got another 9-to-5. You're still going to the office. Like,
no, but
that
his
for
whole
you.
Thing and was think... that he was like over being doing the 9-to-5. So I feel like it was clear that was like he was departing that life.
Yeah. But then he said, I'm departing that life to go to a different kind of 9-to-5. But it's like, so still a 9-to-5.
Because he was just scheduling his day to be a 9-to-5.
I think that a lot of people just related to the 9-to-5. I mean, that is such a common schedule for so many people in the workforce that I think that a lot of people related to him in that sense and found, like, I don't know, comfort in watching his videos. I don't know
And it was his only content. So it was like, right. They grew
but they liked it, obviously. And so when he switched it and then still tried to serve people that content, even though he wasn't, I just feel like people felt a little blindsided. I don't think it's that serious. He was trying to do the same content that got him big.
Well, he was working his 9-to-5 and making the content on top of that. So he was genuinely, like, he must have been working, like,
oh no, for sure,
a ton. So I think that people don't necessarily realize, I mean, I definitely think people don't realize the time that goes into it. These videos aren't, like, long or complex, obviously. I do think that him switching to do just content, it's like he's still working, and obviously it's different, but, like, also if he's filming, like, essentially the same stuff where it's just like you never knew what he did before. So it's like if he was just an editor, even, like, it would be the same content as if he was, like, a finance guy. I don't think that that was necessarily what was, like, the beginning of the end. Like, I think he could have made this work. And I think he did for a little while, at least. I think there was people that were like,
I saw the drama, like, rise, and then it fizzled out for a while when people were like, OK, well, then he does social media now. But initially it was, like, shocking to a lot of people. And I could kind of see why. I also just don't think it's, like, that big of a deal.
I think there were still people rooting for him, though, to be like, oh, good for you. Now you don't have to, like, be miserable. Well, and there's reasons.
Yeah, yeah. We're getting into it right now. Oh, interesting. Our researcher labeled this link his version of try being an influencer for a day, which is one of our favorite quotes.
Yes.
So let's see what he had to say. It says, when people say content creating isn't hard work, no, he's not going to show himself going back for the camera. I'm so done.
Like, there are a lot of extra steps.
It's a bit inconvenient, I'll give him that. But other than that. Yeah,
especially when you do everything in slow motion.
Oh my God, this is actually so cringe. Oh,
he was being funny, yeah.
Okay, I thought he was being for real there for a second. I was like, King, content creation is not hard work. It's a lot of work consuming. Depending on what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's, like, extremely time consuming and it can be tedious. And I think that editing can be hard on your body in certain ways.
For sure.
And there's, like, certain aspects of it that are actually difficult for the mind and the body. Like, sometimes my brain gets fried and I'm like, I'm done. I don't even know how to look at the screen anymore. I don't know how to solve this problem. My anxiety is high. It's a whole thing, but it's not hard work.
No. It's not, like, a lot difficult.
And it depends on content creation isn't a blanket either. There's like some people do way more intricate, difficult things than others. Like if you're making TikToks for a living, it's probably a little easier than somebody who's creating long form content. Like there's different brackets, I feel. And it's just like, it could be time consuming, but I also know a lot of my content creator friends who do, like, short form content. And they have, like, a lot of free time. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Like, it just depends.
I think it depends on the type of person you are, too, and, like, what you like doing and what does come easy. Like, for me, I don't put up a bunch of social media content because, like, that is a different muscle in my brain that I'm just like, oh, my God, I can't even think about it. But I think the one thing in general, and not, this is not to be like, oh, try being an influencer for a day, but that it is just
not us doing
a lot
it.
Of pressure you're putting on yourself at all times. It's a lot to have people have so many opinions about you at all times.
For sure. No, 100%.
Like, even if you are trying to treat it like a 9-to-5 job where it's like, okay, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to edit the content and going to make it and then it's going to be a routine. Yeah, but then also you post the content and you see all the comments and you see people's feedback and it's a lot to process. And I think that that in itself can get really draining. Also, there's a lot of positives that other jobs wouldn't allow you to have.
Yeah, of course. Well, he kind of expresses while doing a trend on TikTok. On screen, it says, I will never understand the hate that Hubs Life guy has been getting, which he's talking about himself, you know.
Oh, is it that thing where you, like, turn the camera back on you? You're like, oh my God.
No, I think that it was literally a trend about people talking about, like, I'll never understand. Blah,
well, you know,
blah,
when, like, people would say, like, people should be less hard on Lily because of blah, blah. And then, like, they turn the camera around and it's me.
Oh, that would have been funnier. No, he didn't do that. No, he, like, totally, I think, misunderstood a trend, perhaps. But anyway, it says, I will never understand the hate that Hubs Life guy has been getting. People loved him while he worked his 9-to-5, but now hate him because he's doing content full time to be a more present dad. He still films his routine and is working harder than ever. He's also just, like, super chill and a really cool dude, in my opinion. This has to be studied, which is a little cringe.
Is this him making it or is it just someone using his footage?
No, this is him.
You're positive?
Yeah. It says here, he doesn't understand why his audience dislikes his content shift.
Oh, then that is super weird. What's with the third person? Like, because also I'm like, is it just someone else using his content as B-roll or something?
No, it's just him cooking.
No, that's weird. Okay.
Well, the thing is, like, I do understand how he would feel frustrated about it.
That's a weird way to express
disagree
it.
With, though, the present parent thing. Although I think that you being home, like, yeah, that would make you a more present parent. But also, you're at a workspace a lot of the time. You're saying you're working harder than ever. So how are you more present? I feel like maybe he meant that his time with his child is more present because he's not
so drained. Like, miserable. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you could be working harder, but if you like what you're doing, you're less drained and like miserable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And he did say like that he was like just kind of like at his wit's end with everything. But I think that's fine for him to think that, but that's a weird way to express it.
You know, he's interesting. His little text on the screen has me in a tizzy. Like, I feel like I'm over the text on the screen. I definitely would not have been like an avid follower. Because I don't like a lot of text on the screen. I'm not coming on TikTok to read a book, queen.
But that is, I think, content that some people seek out because, one, they don't have to necessarily listen to the sad music that he plays along with it. So you can, like, be watching it in, like, if you're at work or something where you, like, can't be listening. Oh, that's
true. Good point. Yep.
Also, it's just kind of like a calm, low-key, I don't know. I feel like captions, like, that's why captions are so big on TikTok and Instagram. This next thing we are about to watch.
I'm confused. Do you know how we jump to the next thing? I don't know how we jump to the next thing. Is this just the latest, like, this is just the evolution just evolved? Or, like, why are we here?
I told you that he was doing content where it was, like, trying to make $1,000 a day as a content creator. Yeah. And he would, like, do that kind of stuff. And I think he was keeping up with the routine, but then also he would show stuff of, like, him hanging out with his friends or like him doing things that weren't work, which was like a whole new thing because it used to be literally just like, hi, I don't have a life and I don't smile.
I just do this. Yeah.
That's been for a while now. Like, I think it's been at least 6 months probably since he quit the full-time job.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, I think so.
I haven't seen him in a while. And that's why I was so caught off guard by this entire topic. And this video we're about to watch is like reason we're talking about him. I knew that some people were like, oh, like I miss your old content, but I thought he was still like doing fine. So I'm a little lost where this, like, because this is a very drastic jump that we're about to watch. And I was like, oh, so he's not doing well?
Well, so apparently he live streams, from what I understand. He goes on live stream.
Does he regularly?
It would seem so. He seems pretty familiar with the GIFs on TikTok and, like, what their names.
Well, so what we're about to watch is, like, someone hit screen recorded and then, like, cut several moments together. And this is wild to me because we never used to really hear him talk very much either, so it was like,
let's watch a video and then I have some thoughts. Okay, here we go. All it says on screen is, we need to study the downfall of Hub's life. Who did this guy become? So, you know, and then the three comments on screen are, I'm 30 with baby number one on the way, advice, which jumps next to, must be running low on funds. It's like, and then what is this live stream?
It's quite the the mix.
Just a lot of opinions.
Yeah, no, this is wild though.
Destiny Galaxy, bro. I gotta get a galaxy, guys. If I send me something, man. It's how I make it a living.
Not the guitar.
I don't know if I saw a galaxy come through, man. I can't answer any of these. You gotta send me a galaxy, bro. Sam, thank you for the first gift. Roses on deck. I don't know. I think roses are like, not a galaxy.
I think roses are like, not a galaxy. You know what's so funny is that a galaxy after like funds,
isn't it like $10
from TikTok, like their cut, it's like $4. Oh, like my $5, $4 or $5.
That's even more embarrassing, which I saw people pointing out.
A rose is pennies. Literally a rose is pennies.
Okay, well, I mean, and I've seen a lot of people making the comparison to, this is no different than Jason Nash, which honestly, Jason Nash at least had a little more energy. I'm kidding. I think it was ridiculous to do the digital. I've never understood the digital panhandling of it all. I don't understand battles.
You don't want to start tallying up the amount that you're making from the live while you're live. I don't think I don't feel like it's going to connect you with your audience. You know what I mean? Being like, oh, what is that? $4.99? Okay. It's like, and then not answering questions until they send you something is giving Ash Trevino.
What I've always stressed about, what I don't understand about lives and like them asking like Ash Trevino, Jason Ash, it's like, you're not doing anything. If you were like singing or like doing some kind of something. Okay.
He was strumming it.
But like, if you're not offering any kind of entertainment and you're just like sitting there and being like, give me money, I can't wrap my mind around it. I don't know why you would think that that is something that is not so embarrassing and so desperate. And it's like, if that's what you've resorted to, then you might have to get another 9 to 5. Cause like, what the fuck?
Well, and also like, if now you want to do the TikTok battle thing or you want to do the TikTok live thing, there is a game to that. Whether you like the game, you agree with it, whatever, you have to then do that. It's not just sitting and being like, okay, I need a galaxy before I can answer a question. There are people that battle all night long, which I think the battles are fucking stupid. And I think that they're a scam and they're like a fake fight where both people get paid. But that being said, it's still the way that TikTok lives work. You don't just sit there and be like, I want a galaxy. That's not honestly even what the TikTok live people do.
I would argue though with the battles, it's bullshit because it's literally two people just doing it at once where it's like, give me more than you gave him. And I think that's just as ridiculous.
I think it's
fake and
I think it's stupid, but I also think that at least they're like playing the TikTok live game. They're giving the people some sort of entertainment. It feels like gambling or something. I don't know why people participate in it.
It's still just asking people for money with a little more enthusiasm.
Yeah. I mean, so you think this is almost more like up front, like just being like, give me money. Like, which one's worse?
No, I think they're equally bad.
Oh, interesting.
I would say maybe the battles I think is worse just because I think it is kind of like tricking people into thinking it's like a game or they're doing something when it's like actually just this with two people. But the fact that he's blatantly saying like, I'm not gonna answer any questions until someone gives me a galaxy. Are you kidding? What? Yeah, what are you doing then? Are you just sitting there staring? Like, that's so weird. No, he's strumming
the guitar.
Oh my God.
I want to answer all these questions, but I really can't right now. Sam, where's the galaxy, bro? I'll answer like 10 questions if you send a galaxy. You gotta send me a galaxy or something. This is a lot more lucrative and I get to work from anywhere in the world. Make money from my telephone.
Like this?
Wait. So now he's like talking about content creation in general, saying that it's lucrative. He could do it from anywhere in the world. Way more lucrative.
Correct.
You know how many remote jobs there are that aren't content creation? Then why are you begging people
for $4?
Yeah. Well, let me let him finish and then I'm going to say my thoughts. I don't know how many more galaxies he's going to beg. We only have a few seconds left.
We need investments other than 401k. You got to send me a galaxy and I'll answer that.
At least one more.
That's the internet for you, though. No one wants to see you better doing better than them, right?
Well, not when you're begging people for galaxies. Chill, dude. I saw a comment that was like, bro, the galaxy is on your ceiling behind you.
Yeah, he did have a galaxy up there. I think that what has occurred is something that is not actually as uncommon as people would think it is. I just don't think that everybody ends up on TikTok Live telling you that you need to send them a galaxy. I think that people think, or they are presented with a large amount of money for X, Y, and Z things. They think, okay, I've made this money for 4 to 5 months or a year. That's something that's going to continue. And it just doesn't always do that. We have even talked about, even though that we're finally like stable at a point in our lives where it's like, well, how long will that continue for? Because we've lived this life so many times where it's like, I have had 5 brand deals in a month and I thought, oh my God, I'm good. And then I don't get brand deals for 5 months. And I was like, oh, I have no money. I can't survive for a year. So content creation is super fickle. And I think
the downfall of my finances was because I was getting brand deals that were really lucrative. Also, like you said earlier, where it's like, you see that you're good for like a month. So you're like, okay, well, I don't have to like
worry,
keep like grinding away and doing stuff. So like, for me, I was then stupidly dedicating all of my time to something that ended up not being able to be monetized. I wasn't just like taking the year off. But because I was working on my like Epstein thing, which I just was dumb and didn't realize that that wasn't going to be something that I would be able to monetize. But also, it was during COVID, so I wasn't around people all the time and I wasn't doing things. My back got really bad and it was like a bunch of factors that I wasn't posting on social media anymore. So it used to be that I could get one brand deal and I'd be fine for the month.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden it was like, no one's offering me brand deals because I don't post anything.
Yeah. Well, there's also a lot of other factors though that go into it. I feel like a lot of people don't realize, and this is not me saying try being an influencer for a day. Like, I'm just trying to give perspective to people who may not understand it. When you are given a large sum of money for the first time, like usually jobs pay you bi-weekly, maybe monthly at the most, but like a lump sum of money is just given to you. So they'll be like, here's $10,000 for this brand deal. For a lot of people, $10,000 will change their entire life. And I think for most people it would. However, taxes aren't taken out of that money, and that's a large portion of it. But then a lot of times you have to literally like allot that money to several months because you're not going to get that again for a while. Or if you get another $10,000 brand deal, they won't pay you for 90 more days.
I was just going to say, or they're not very reliable with when they pay you. And you're like, well, fuck, I know I have a check coming. But yeah,
it becomes like a $3,000 a month job instead.
I remember when I was technically living paycheck to paycheck, but it's like when that paycheck would come, then I was like, it wasn't like the paycheck would come and I would be like broke again. It was like, no, then I was good for a while.
Yeah.
But then unless you can keep that going and like for a while, it might be sustainable, but then something like COVID, for example, might happen and it impacts your posting, or there's some reason why suddenly the brand deals aren't coming in as easy, or you're not able to make content because you have chronic back pain or something. You go from being like totally great to not great at all. That runs out very quickly.
Yeah. I went through so many roller coasters as a content creator before this podcast where it's like, okay, we have a schedule. And although income can fluctuate, we understand more or less what we can expect. And that feels like very reliable, which is not common in this field. Like a lot of people do not know when they're going to make money again after they receive it. And that's after chasing down these companies to actually fucking pay you. So it's like a whole thing that I think that this is a result of. Like I genuinely think he like just found out what it's like to really be a content creator for yourself, where it's like not only does TikTok's like RPM or whatever the fuck they call it,
it's terrible.
It's terrible. It's unreliable.
Yeah.
I have friends who are like, I don't even understand it. Like I do this for a living and I don't know how much I'm going to get paid a month. It just really fucking depends. And if TikTok even feels like serving that out, even if it's like your other content. So it's like, it's very fickle. And I think that he is getting a taste of that and just freaking out. Understandably so in the freaking out department, not understandably so to make that your followers' problems and make them need to send you galaxies. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, for sure. But I think what's weird though is even him saying in the live that like, this is more lucrative. And like, but I do it? Wonder, he has to be struggling, right? If he's asking for galaxies literally like eight times in a live stream.
There's no fucking way you don't answer a question unless someone gives you a galaxy, unless the only other out I could give him is like, if he is genuinely so sick of people asking the same thing that he's just like,
but then why would you go on live?
Yeah, no, it doesn't make any sense. I was just going to try to give him something.
Because I watched people like criticizing him. Also, I feel like it's a lot of guys that watch him.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because I feel like a lot of the drama channels that like, usually it's like one group of people that's covering it. This I feel like is spread to like a larger group. So it's like a lot of people that are not covering the same kind of drama necessarily that we are covering this now. And they're all being very critical of him. And they were really shitting on him for, like, I watched one where the guy was like, he got greedy and he quit his 9-to-5. Yeah. And there's a lot of stuff that I was like, I feel like I wanted to defend him because I'm like, okay, like he didn't have to stay at his 9-to-5 just because you wanted to see that content forever, all the time.
Yeah.
But then I saw this and I was like, whoa, 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 sir, yeah, no. I was on your side until what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And I guess he got a ton of comments and people were like really giving him a hard time, understandably so. And he commented back that like something about he was donating it to the fires because he lives in Texas. But then he deleted the comment.
Oh.
And also with the clip that we're about to watch, it's like, were you though? The comment is, it was donated to the flood victims, LOL, what is this? And then he deleted that later. But then also I saw another video where he comments, it was for flood victims, yeah, missing context.
Well, it says on screen here to this one that we're gonna watch, why say this then?
Zach, I'm not begging for money, bro, but this is how I earn my living, so any little bit helps, man.
Bro, he's so awkward.
I gotta get a galaxy, guys, if you want me to answer the tough questions. I know that sounds like greedy and stuff, but again, this is how I'm making my living now, guys.
Hmm. Doesn't sound like that's for flood victims.
Does
and
not
to
sound
claim
like it.
That is such an intense, like, what happened was so fucking egregious. Like, are you joking? Get the fuck out of here. If you're saying that it's donated and then you're deleting it, now I have a real problem with you because you're just a fucking liar.
Genuinely, I went from like, everyone's being so just like parasocial like and like assholes so about like, sorry, he's not making like his boring content like you preferred before. But like the second it goes into give me money, begging for money, and then lying and saying that it was for flood victims when it very clearly was not advertised like that, at least like that's not how he framed it at all. I don't think he really gave it to flood victims because clearly, based on these clips, he's saying that he needs the money.
That's how he makes a living. And also, this isn't a very lucrative way to make money. Like TikTok Live can be, but again, you have to play the game, you have to do the battles. It's not going to do it for you.
I've said to people a lot that this situation that we have now with the podcast, one, long form content monetizes better.
Yeah.
Two, thank you, girlies, that you're very consistent. Yeah. So it doesn't,
God bless.
We're not having to be so nervous about like, if I do this video, is it going to flop because the algorithm doesn't want to push it out? Also, podcasts, the sponsors buy things in bulk. So they're buying like multiple episodes And it's not but like this we've is a also custom seen episode.
That could be rescinded though. Like I feel like for sure. though people can buy in like for the whole year, it's not like set in stone. Like an advertiser can back out. They can buy like 10 spots and then be like, just kidding, we only want two of them.
But so that I'm just could saying happen even with us. So much more consistent than it is for your personal channel because one, you only have, I mean, it's less money than I would get for like a custom video on my personal channel, but you have to make a custom video and it has to like align with what the sponsor is. And it was just like it's a very different thing than having like the turnkey, just like we can read a sponsor for a minute and be done with it and move on. And we don't have to like make sure the content is in line with what it, like, they
matches
want.
It.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think for us, this is like, it's been so great to have that consistency, but it's hands down the most consistency I've ever had as a content creator, because doing it on your own, it is not like that at all. If you're not doing a podcast, realizing that. Exactly.
I think that he thought that as long as he could keep up the 9-to-5 content in this new workspace, which honestly, now it's kind of clicking for me. That's probably why he got the workspace.
For sure.
He's like, that's what they want to see. They don't want to see me in my house. So what are the comments? You said he posted
turned all 9 hours ago.
Ah, come on, Hubs. What's his real name? Ryan? Did I imagine that?
Connor, I think. Oh, no, he didn't. Maybe they're off on his videos prior, but today's they're on.
Oh, what did they say?
So, yeah, 9 hours ago. And before his last video, before this, was 4 days ago. And that's when they're off. This is 9 hours ago. It says, happy Tuesday, hashtag morning routine. And it's 6 a.m. morning routine. And it's a 15-second video, which is weird because I'm like, you can't even monetize that.
Nope, you cannot.
It has to be a minute. It has 608 comments. It says, tough watch. You better add browsing Indeed onto that morning routine now, brother.
Oh, my God. So now people are doing the whole get a job thing.
Yeah.
That they've done to Jason forever.
Why are you getting up at 6 a.m. if you don't have a job?
No, literally, I was just about to say that. I mean, at least if you could pick your hours, don't pick that one.
Back to the Matrix, boy.
Damn.
You literally didn't do anything.
Oh. I think that there's a set group of people who kind of wanted this to happen to him.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, when he switched, they just wanted him to not succeed as a content creator.
Someone commented, I don't know who this is, Signa May. She's verified. And she said, they hate to see a successful person. I swear, this editing and content takes time and dedication. Good job. Clapping emojis. And he responded to that and said, thank you. Praying hands and a heart.
I mean, listen, I don't think that content creation takes no work.
It's 15
Even
seconds.
If you're just doing TikToks, it takes work. But I just think that what he's doing is weird as fuck.
So many of the comments are like, everyone hating is just annoyed. They haven't become successful in anything. Chin up, you're the man. And he's liked a bunch of comments, but I'm like, is that why everyone's mad? I think it is why a large portion stinks. Is which is stupid, but
well, all in all, other than lying about donating to flood victims, not so bad. Other than that,
honestly, it was again, I was defending him up until I saw those. I was like, whoa, sorry, can't
what
do
the
that.
Fuck what a fall from grace. Like, I never expected that random dude on my For You page just going to the office every day.
Well, that's what I said. I was like, it's topic. Rare that there's like a random like, hey, this is the topic, and I'm like, whoa, I've seen him, what's wrong? Like, what he's so unproblematic. And then this was a weird turn.
Very weird. Well, anyway, that was interesting.
Yeah.
Wish
I'm
you
still
well?
Curious if like something else come, like if he says something or if he's just like not gonna address it.
If he's gonna address it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think him commenting and then deleting the flood comments kind of fucked him up, because he can't just get on his channel now and just be like, listen, guys, I made a pivot, because like now that's stained everything.
Yeah. Well, and again, that it isn't just like the normal drama channels that are covering it. It's getting a lot more reach than your average
now it's on
cancellation.
Do we know
or whatever. Yeah. Sorry, sir.
Our apologies. Anyway, moving on to our second topic. This one's a quick one, but I did see it on my For You page, even on vacation. I saw it because people were like so annoyed with this one girl.
I was like, after I had watched all of this stuff and I was already annoyed, and then I'm like clicking through some other topic ideas, I was like, ugh.
Yeah, like,
what
just
is this? Can everyone go
people
away?
Need to stop posting for a minute.
Literally.
Yeah, for sure. But anyway, the two people, I guess one is a company, that we're going to be talking about is OPI, you know, the nail polish that we all have used for many years.
Mm-hmm. I haven't used it in a long
Bethany.
Time, but big fan.
Bethany, not Frankel, by the way. Just Bethany.
You do have to clarify.
Luckily
that,
today,
Bethany
we're not venturing there. She do. I would literally, it would make total sense if she was involved in this.
I will
but
say,
she's not,
she
that I know
has
of.
Had
yet.
Some videos I've seen randomly in the last like month or two that were cracking me up.
Don't say that. I won't accept that.
I need to send them to you. It was really funny.
This is a Bethany hate channel.
Anyway, she's just really unintentionally funny sometimes. So yeah, OPI, the nail polish brand, which has literally been around forever. Like, everyone knows OPI.
Yeah. they launched a new product, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's called Gelement. And it's their like at-home gel system. And we're going to watch a video of their global education director talking about it, because I have a lot of thoughts on gel. I have a lot of thoughts on people using it at home. I've used it at home before and I wasn't aware of the dangers when I was doing it. My mom has developed an allergy due to using gel at home. Oh. It can be a very, very intense thing. So I do have like thoughts on having gel polish available to consumers without like very, very clear warning signs. And also like a lot of the gel systems like Beetles and stuff that you'll get through Amazon, they won't even sell or come with the proper lamps to cure it. So doesn't fully cure it, so then you could develop contact dermatitis. Anyway,
serious.
Yeah, you know, I'm well versed.
I hadn't looked into what the actual product is. I just saw that they like launched this gel polish
take a
system.
Look.
And I guess system does imply that there's like more, but don't a lot of brands have like some form of like gel polish, quote unquote, that isn't necessarily the same that you're getting when you're like going to get your nails done, but that it's like just like last longer?
Yeah, the main like top coat that I'll use when it's not gel, like that you don't have to cure under a lamp, is actually Kathleen's brand Light Slacker, and it's like a totally jelly like overlay thing, but it's not cured by a lamp. So I think a lot of brands will do like a gel top coat
where,
but it's not really
just like
gel,
a thicker, longer lasting one,
thicker, shinier, that type of thing.
It like mimics the gel,
not
but it's
gel.
Not actually the same thing that you would
those
be
are fine
at.
Those are totally fine,
but this is different.
Yeah, the issue with gel that needs to be cured under a UV lamp is that UV lamps have different wattages, and there's a lot of different elements that go into certain things. Like a lot of people will think that it's like not a big deal if you're like painting your nail and some gel gets on your cuticle. Yeah, that's a big fucking deal.
I literally wouldn't even think twice about it. I mean, I wouldn't be doing gel manicures myself, but
I'm telling you, my mom did press-ons, and a very popular thing to do, like it's like a TikTok hack that literally is horrible, is glue on your press-ons with clear like gel glue essentially, and then you cure it under a lamp, and instead of nail glue, it's like super strong on there, right? Okay. Kind of like how you would do Gel X. What's the problem is that a lot of those nail tips are not transparent. And if a nail tip is not transparent and you
can't see,
try to cure it, it'll cure, it'll get hard, but it's not fully cured. And so you have uncured gel, and the chances that you're going to develop an allergy because of that is pretty much 100%. My mom absolutely did it. She cannot even put like gel polish on a toe. Like you develop an allergy that's like a full body thing. And you can never use gel again.
It's like a skin irritant?
Yeah, basically. Like it basically, it manifests differently for everyone, but usually it'll cause like inflammation to your cuticle area and like anywhere around where you put the gel.
Okay.
And in some cases, people have like lost nails and shit because of it.
Oh, shit.
Like, yeah, it's like very intense. And you can even develop an allergy to gel from uncured gel being in the room with you. If
like
you're like
airborne.
Have it open. Yeah. Yeah. No, like it's fucking crazy. It's like a very, very intense substance. Like I feel like people are like, period, let's do gel at home. And I'm like, ugh. Like literally I've seen people who educate on this and they're like, you do not do someone's nails with gel unless you are wearing gloves and like proper respiration. So this is the like OPI global education person talking about at home gel application.
Okay. Welcome back to Geliversity. Did you ace your prep course? If not, hit pause and go take it right now. Proper prep is essential for what we're about to learn. Today's lesson, perfect gel application. But first, we need to talk safety. This is so important that I'm calling in my mentor.
Listen up. Gel polish is specially formulated for your nail plate, not your skin. When you keep it on the nail where it belongs, you'll not only get the best looking results, but you'll also avoid any potential skin reactions that could develop with repeated contact. Our formula is thoroughly tested, but doing it right means keeping gel where it's meant to be. On your nails.
Like Heather said.
And it's like, well, I can't do that. I'm like incapable of doing
Yeah,
that.
And it is interesting because it's like, okay, well, you can do it at home, but like, if you're good at nails.
I really genuinely, and I've seen a lot of people who are very educated in this, suggest that it is dangerous to have as an average consumer. It's not that you can't have it or you shouldn't be allowed or you have to pay a nail tech price. It's that there are, and I mean, listen, if you don't mind having contact dermatitis, you slay on, queen. You know what I mean? Like, it's fine. And I think that myself included, I have done my own gel nails and I've never developed that. But my mom has. Like, I feel like there's like, it's very common and you can never get rid of that allergy once you have it and you're fucked for life. Because I think also it makes it like, it's not just gel. It like, it causes all sorts of issues for like other random things that you'll like,
you're
it'll trigger
like
that reaction.
For irritation and stuff. Yeah.
Dude, it's like pretty crazy. So I do want to say, like, for people who may not do their nails often, if you're not familiar with gel nails, the reason why gel nails are more desirable for some people, myself included, that's why
they last longer, right?
Yeah, they last a ton longer. Like, my nails right now are not acrylic. I used to do acrylic for a long time until she started doing Gel X. And I like Gel X because it's like thinner and there's a lot of advantages to it. But like, if you're just doing the polish on your nails, it's just like, it lasts a lot longer. It can last weeks at a time.
I couldn't tell you the last time I got a manicure, but anytime I have, I like, since gel has been a thing, I always get gel because it's like, I'm not trying to mix up the colors all the time. So it's like, oh, that'll last like three times as long. Absolutely put it on.
Yeah. Like literally your nails will grow out probably before they chip. And when you use traditional polish, they chip pretty much right away. So that's why it's desirable to people. And that's why people buy, I mean, it makes total sense that OPI is moving into the gel space because like everybody is. So that makes sense. What I do wonder is the wattage in their nail lamp, because this set does come with a UV nail lamp. And the issue that a lot of people who educate on this have is that these brands will sell nail lamps that don't have the proper wattage to like safely cure UV.
Irresponsible and dumb.
Exactly. But a lot of people do it. Like the Beatles lamp doesn't, like, I mean, most of the gel kits that you buy off Amazon and stuff, they do not come with the proper lamps, but they come with the lamps. So you're thinking, oh, period, I'll just cure it right here. And it's not safe. I just wanted to Google a second. So since it comes with a lamp, I was curious on what wattage it was. It's 36 watts, which is the minimum range. Like that's the lowest acceptable range for curing gel. However, too high of a wattage, like you see brands that are like 100-something what, like it'll cure your gel too fast and then it's a whole other fucking issue. But between 36 to 54 watts is considered effective and safe. They are the literal minimum for that. So technically, I guess, still safe. I'm not an expert in this, although I do be watching videos. I think that that's on the low end for what I hear people suggesting to companies. But like, if it's still safe, then okay. You know what I mean? Just something to note. The issue that we're talking about, or like the TikToker we're talking about, does not give a fuck about the safety.
Yeah, I was gonna say, this is all interesting because I feel like it's like a different conversation just about the brand responsibility in all of it.
But Bethany don't give a fuck.
Yeah, no, it's like, but Bethany's problems are not rooted in safety.
Oh my God, I saw this TikTok and I thought it was satire. Anyway, here's Bethany.
So I never thought that we would see the day as licensed nail techs where OPI decided to finally sell out.
I was like, where is this?
They're now making at-home DIY gel kits for the average consumer. Pretty much saying fuck you to the licensed professionals over the last 30 years who have made them filthy fucking rich. I'm beyond disappointed. I'm so sick of brands basically telling us to go fuck ourselves when we made them what they are. As professionals, why are we doing this anymore? Why are we bothering even having licensing and having regulation if these brands are just not gonna follow suit and just give a middle finger to the rest of us?
Okay. Girl, I fear you needed to elaborate a little more. It was a little too short. I'm confused on what the fuck you're talking about, to be honest.
It seems like she's trying to act like safety is maybe her concern, but no. She's not addressing...
No, not at all.
That there's reasons beyond gel nails that you're getting certified, and like why doing someone else's nails is very different than like taking on the responsibility of doing your own.
Well, there's multiple aspects to it here. I didn't get that safety was a concern at all. Had she said that, this wouldn't even be a topic that I would think would be worth covering, because it's like, obviously there are safety concerns.
I think she's kind of pretending, like she's trying to make it seem like that is like part of it, but I don't think it is at all.
No, what she's basically saying is like, now that people can do this at home with OPI, which by the way, they've been able to do with many other brands that are just as good. Like you can get gel polish for years now. I think she's saying now people are gonna, like, it's just gonna reduce the amount of people that are coming to see our service. My question is like, how much faith do you have in yourself as a service provider? Because literally, when I tell you, like, I started trying to do acrylic on my toes and my toes just like slide off, like my acrylic just like literally left mid-vacation. That is the reality for a lot of people who try to do their nails at home. They're not nail techs. They can't do it like you. However, in a time like now where more people are struggling financially than ever, at least in our generation, then it's like, yeah, they may need to try it at home, queen. Like, it's just like, it's kind of hard out here. We can't pay $100 for nails all the time.
Well, framing it is like, they're selling out and like, it's a big fuck right. you to, I'm like, okay.
They're actually quite late to joining the market, actually.
And also, again, like, I feel like it would be similar to the fact that you can buy hair dye or like bleach to do your own hair at home. And some people do get box dye or box bleach and they do their hair by themselves. Is that a risky process, especially with like bleach, yes, because you could like fucking fry your hair off? Absolutely. If they're choosing to do that and it's their hair and they want to accept the responsibility and the risk that comes along with it, go for it. Because a lot of people can't afford to go get their hair dyed regularly at a salon. Acting like suddenly OPI coming out with a gel system, whatever, is now going to wipe out all of your business. I'm like, girl, a lot of people don't want to do their own nails.
She does clarify, though, because she stitches herself. And in the caption, she says, y'all hopped on that. Well, she says hoped, but I think she meant hopped. Y'all hopped on that video to complain about something I wasn't even talking about. It's like talking to a wall, because people were literally like, Kim, there's people dying. Like, we don't care. Like, this is stupid. What are you talking about? Lots of stitches from nail techs.
Yeah.
Lots of conversation around this. But this is what she has to say on her stitch to herself.
Okay. So like, everybody in my comment section is purposely misunderstanding what I'm trying to say, because.
What were you trying to say?
This has nothing to do with you guys DIYing.
What?
We do not give a shit if you guys DIY your nails. Okay. What I find ironic is that the same people complaining in my comment section about how nails are too expensive are like the same people in one of my videos earlier this year that were like, oh my God, like nail techs shouldn't be charging what they're charging anymore. They don't even use professional brands. They don't use pro only brands. Everything that they use is off of Amazon, and they only use Kira Sky and all these cheap brands. And then we sit there and we try to keep pro brands being pro brands so that people who are licensed professionals who can purchase those brands keep using those brands.
That sentence was so fucking crazy. I literally just almost passed out.
People are purposely misunderstanding what you're trying. You didn't say any of that.
No, this comment's so funny. It says, do y'all see what I'm saying? Because I guess she says that in a second. She's like, girl, no.
None of the point you're trying to make now was made even a little bit in that last video.
Well, no, there's that. But then also the fact that she is saying that OPI, like people are carrying gel OPI because that's like something that only pros can get. And maybe there are, I'll give her that. Maybe there are some people that say, don't use beetles on me if I'm going to you as a nail tech. You know what I mean? However, what I have to say about that is like, if beetles has a color that I want and that's like the brand that she has in that color and she can make a design like I certainly can't make on my fucking self at home, then I don't give a fuck if it's Beatles, Boodles, or Battles. What? I don't give a shit what you're putting on me, because it literally, your art is what you're charging for, and obviously the longevity and like the wear of your nails and stuff like
and
that.
And not but,
like,
having to do it yourself. Who cares?
Well, yeah, no, that's a whole other element, obviously, of getting your nails done, but like, I do my nails like a piece of art. Like, I cannot do what this girl does to me.
Yeah.
And like, that's why I pay her. And I get that not everybody can pay, and I understand that some people don't see the value in it, same as some people don't see the value in getting your makeup or hair done. I get it. It's a luxury. But I don't think carrying OPI
and
was what was carrying
you,
queen.
And she's trying to make the parallel that it's interesting. Like, how dare OPI, when it's like, she's basically saying she's kind of like forced to buy OPI because that's what people are demanding. But now OPI is coming out with an at-home thing so people can get it themselves. And it's like, yeah, if they want to do their nails themselves.
So like, if the professional brands are no longer professional only brands, right? What are you guys gonna complain about? You can't sit there and say that professionals don't use professional only brands anymore if there are no longer any professional only brands.
Maybe she's had some like deep rooted fights with people for random reasons I cannot concur.
Yeah, this is a weird, like, what are you gonna complain about? Maybe nothing?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. With service work in general, I did makeup for a living at one point in my life. I understand people will, like, there are some people that are dedicated to complaining about getting that service done. Yeah, or they don't think your art, your time, your products are worth their money. And to that, I say, well, then fucking skedaddle, scram, exactly. Like, get out of here. It's not for everyone.
Make sure that your work speaks for itself. Yeah. Because again, people aren't just coming to you for the product. And if they are, then you maybe need to up your game.
Yeah, no, literally my nail tech, she like launches her schedule to her regulars and then has like two slots after that. Like there's like literally, she's not looking for new people. She's not begging people to come to her because she's really fucking good. And it's like hard to get to her. So it's like, just keep on keeping on, queen. You know, you'll be fine. Some of the comments on her original video are pretty funny. It says, "We're poor, Bethany. I don't have $120 for nails. It's a recession. I hope this helps." And then one says, "Hairstylists here, they've been selling at-home hair color kits since before I was born. We're doing just fine. OPI has been selling to the consumer since 1981. It's going to be okay." And someone said, "As a cashier, I find the self-checkout so disrespectful." Like, it is dumb. This is a stupid take, and her doubling down on it is even dumber because, girl, you know people are going to take this and eat you up.
She doesn't even double down. Like, she has an entirely different point that she did not even remotely make. You're so right.
No, yeah. Yeah, I don't know what this is. This is a roundabout, a loop-de-loop. I don't know. But anyway, that's pretty much it. All I can say is I'm glad that OPI is offering a gel kit. Just be very careful with it. That's all.
And I will not be
doing
that
myself. Bethany. I hope your business does okay. Anyway. We love the internet. Oh my God, I really hope we don't get copyrighted, but I want to
I'm like, not again.
Damn it. Will we get copyrighted if someone's singing a cover of something, but it's like,
depends on how bad it is.
It's actually not that bad. No, I don't think I could show it. Damn it. Okay, can I just describe it?
What is it?
It's the TSA at the Harry Reid Airport. I don't know where that is. But they were just showing that. Oh, I'm just going to show it to you. I have to. It's got to be my We Love the Internet. I can't not show this.
Someone singing?
It's like,
oh my God,
TSA agents. And the caption just says, "What the fuck?"
Oh, people, not cute.
You can visibly see that there's not enough TSA agents working
that,
the
line. That would get me really pissed off, too.
It literally says, "Harry Reid Airport in Las Vegas has line of baggage waiting to be checked with only one person checking each side, and they have the TSA chorus performing Make It Make Sense."
Oh my God, no, that would actually send me. Because literally I've been a Target before, and like, there's literally one line and there's like 15 of us in line and no other.
Imagine they were all singing.
Yeah, no, fuck that. I would lose my mind.
Dude, especially the airport's like such a high tension place. Like everyone's just on edge. And then these people, like, why was this their moment? I'm just so confused.
I'm literally thinking of times at Target when that happens. And what is the most annoying part is that there's other people standing and they're just like fucking around and talking to each other. And it's like, can someone just open so another funny register? But then if they started singing. If they started singing.
Six of them, like six of them on a stage. This comment says, "Girl, if y'all don't rise up off that stage and check my bags."
Imagine being late to your flight and TSA over there singing like it's a funeral.
Dude, I wonder. Imagine if you were on your way to a funeral. No, I do feel bad if like they were like doing some sort of memorial, but also time and place. You know what I mean? As Tati says.
Do we want lambs or I guess sheep? Are lambs sheep?
Lambs are baby sheep, I think.
I think technically they're sheep. Do we want sheep or do we want a dog that's in like a safety course video?
No, we gotta do sheep. You haven't given sheep enough love, you know.
Honestly, I would if I saw them.
You've had
more.
A few sheep ones.
Not like this, because this is one of the cutest things I've ever seen. I don't know if this is like a common behavior for a sheep, but
oh my God. Oh,
she's got nice.
Look at just prancing around.
She's got the zoomies. Oh my God, they're both doing it.
Hello.
Oh.
Venno.
Look how cute they are.
Like, I'm so dead.
Are sheep, not like, them literally.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh my God, they're so cute.
They're so cute. I love them. They're so happy.
Oh my God, there's. Oh, I love it because both feet at the same time, they're just bopping around.
They must be related.
They look definitely. Like, oh my God, like I would think they're dogs from behind.
Literally, yeah.
Anyway.
Well, anyway, guys, I'm sweating my ass off.
I know, I'm really hot.
So
I'm
suppose
listening.
We should be going now, but it feels good to be back. And if you guys have made it to the end, as always, we appreciate you very much. But that's all we've got for you.
I am still working on the montage.
Oh, it's coming, honey. You hold that breath.
I definitely, there's a lot of episodes to pull things from. So it's like, even when I thought I was making progress, all of a sudden I was like, oh, now I have to edit it though.
Yep. So. And that do be the problem.
Yeah. But it's gonna be good soon. It's gonna be good. Maybe for episode 300.
Perfect. Love that. But anyway, as always, we hope you have a fantastic weekend and we will see you on Monday. Bye. Cheers.